Hey, all you listeners out there, welcome to the Arena Multiplatform Gaming News Podcast post-show. This goes up in early access for patrons, and then it goes to free podcast services after a day. So I want to welcome you guys all out and, listen to what we have to say here on the post-show. So let's jump right into it. With me are my co-hosts for the regular show, Burley of Burleyman Gaming over on Twitch, and Turnbase Carl. So first up, guys, let's talk about the Dead Space remake. So what were your impressions of this? It's kind of like a pre-alpha build that they actually showed. It was like a 40-plus minute presentation. I tuned in for about 10. Just to see what they actually showed. Yeah. So what were your impressions? Carl, did you get a chance to watch it?
I didn't watch it. I did see like a quick little clip of it to get an idea. I mean, those are the Dead Space creatures and you can shoot their limbs off. Okay. that's great. And now you can shoot their flesh off, I guess. I'm like, all right, that sounds cool.
Yeah, with all the sophisticated graphics now in the last 10 years since it came out. It came out in 2011. So, I mean, now they can improve the way, you know, decapitating limbs look in the screenshots there. So.
Yeah, I mean, they did a great job on the original game. So it's one of those things where it's not that maybe the technology it wasn't capable, or, you know, it's just that people don't really make the effort to do this stuff in video games. So
yeah,
it's nice to see it in a newer game, but
Burley, what'd you think, man?
It looks good. As a guy, someone that has never played Dead Space, this looks interesting. I will eventually try the games out. I watched maybe about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. Did not have the time to sit and watch 40 minutes of this.
I find it funny, the reaction to this. There, I did see a lot of people, you know, coming out and be like, oh, this is amazing. Everyone was like super excited that they're happy to see this early, you know, look at this game that everyone is, you know, excited to play. But, you know, these tech demo things, like, this isn't, maybe this is a decent example, because again, they're not making a whole new game here. But, you gotta be careful with tech demos.
It's a total remake.
If everyone remembers the Crackdown 3 tech demo.
Oh yeah.
God, I love that. I still want to play that game.
Yeah.
Never got it, man. So sad.
I think it's on Game Pass.
It's not that game though.
Yeah.
Oh, you want the exact tech demo version of it?
Yeah. I don't want that pile of trash that they eventually released.
It was pretty cool though how they showed like the innards of the Ishimura, you know, and how they're gonna kind of redesign it in a way. It looked pretty cool, but still, like I said at the beginning, very like pre alpha stages. I mean, so yeah, coming to next gen consoles, whenever that is, I'd probably bet maybe 2, maybe 3 years from now, we'll get it. I don't know. We shall see. Yeah. Okay. Next up, Carl, this one's for you, man. And I saw on Twitter, you were not so happy about this. Marvel's Midnight Suns gameplay reveal shows plenty of magic and mayhem. Really? So yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what they showed and what's it really going to be?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I didn't watch the full developer sort of discussion thing. My hype level was like really high after Gamescom. So I'm like, oh yeah, I mean, I'm expecting it to be turn-based tactical XCOM type of game. And then they showed the gameplay and now it's like, it is still some sort of turn-based strategy thing, but it's cards, right?
Like, yeah.
Your abilities that you use come from a random set of cards that are per battle. Which means that you don't you don't have to come in. It's not like you're like a typical turn-based strategy, like where you're like, oh, I'm leveling up this guy, and you know, I'm leveling up Captain America, and I'm putting points into his, you know, certain attacks, like his shield throw or whatever you know it's going to be. You know, or I'm buffing his defense. I'm going to focus on him being more of a defender. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I didn't see if there's as far as like a leveling system in this game. I have no idea. Because I'm so turned off by this card system thing. I don't want that. I want this random thing. Like, you know, Doctor Strange has like some random magic spell that, like, you know, I don't know, draw two cards, you know. Yeah. Like, I don't know if it's like that, but you know what I mean. Like, that's, you know, it's like I don't want to play Magic the Gathering. You know, if I did, I'd play that. You know?
Yeah.
And obviously it's not just that, because there is like a 3D battlefield, and I think you are moving around and positioning in some ways, but it's just, man, not for me. Yeah.
Burley, how about for you? Is this for you?
Oh, this is totally for me. This could be a 10 out of 10. No, I'm kidding. I could sell that. No, this was disappointing, because they put so much in like the teaser animation that they showed before. And you're kind of thinking, oh, this will be like we're all thinking, okay, this will be like a brawler, team brawler kind of thing.
Yeah.
Nope. Card game.
Yeah,
because they want to. It's because they'll eventually be known. They want to sell you the microtransactions of, oh, you didn't get the cards you wanted in this hand here. Pay $1.99, well, and you can reshuffle your hand.
I had to say that they did say that none of that's going to be in the game. The only microtransactions they said will be cosmetics. So
yeah.
It's not a mobile like thing. Like, even though it kind of looks like it could be a mobile game. Yeah. They are pushing back on that, saying that it's not going to be that type of game. So at the very least, it will be like, I mean, I've never played Slay the Spire, but I'm thinking it's like those, in the vein of those type of games, where it is like a full-fledged, you know, standalone, not like microtransaction force type of game.
Yeah.
Okay. So next up, Cyberpunk 2077. CD Projekt Red delays upcoming releases. So this is from Megan Faruk-Manesh over at Axios. Although next-gen versions of Cyberpunk 2077 and The Witcher 3 are still slated to release later this year, CD Projekt Red is acknowledging both might be further delayed. And why this matters: following disastrous launch for Cyberpunk 2077 after releasing the game too early, CD Projekt Red seems to have learned its lesson. During an investor call, business development SVP Michael Nowakowski said while the developer is still targeting a 2021 release date for Cyberpunk, we have learned during the past year and taken into account the fact that this project still remains in development. We can't say with full certainty that the production schedule will not change. And The Witcher 3's next-gen edition is in a slightly different situation, as it's primarily being worked on by Saber Interactive rather than CD Projekt Red. And as with Cyberpunk 2077, our goal is to release that game still in late 2021. However, similarly, there were some processes ongoing, and we cannot be absolutely dead certain that the release schedule will not change. So, Burley, I think you had some things to say about this. Take it away, man.
Yeah. They know whatever they release next, like on consoles, their next big title, they know they are going to get scrutiny to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of game companies have basically come out and said, yeah, we don't want to rush and put stuff out like Cyberpunk. So they know they've got to be careful, because a lot of people are going to be held to task of when this game comes out, whatever comes out. If it's a buggy mess like Cyberpunk was, they are just going to get killed.
Yeah.
I still don't think we're going to get the release this year for the next gen console versions of Cyberpunk. Like, they're still tweaking and trying to fix the game. Like, I know it's in a much better state, but I've heard from people that are playing, like, yeah, their last patch fixed this, but broke another kind of quest, important quest line. So like they're still trying to get that game right.
There was an update just I think a few weeks ago, was it? I think there was
like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. But just an ongoing thing.
Yeah. The Witcher, I wouldn't be surprised if they just don't come this year. Mm-hmm. It being an early next year. Take as much time, because the thing is as hardcore fans are of Cyberpunk, those Witcher fans are even more hardcore. If you screw that up, putting that on the new consoles, I think all hell's really going to break loose.
Yeah.
I don't think that the Witcher 3 one really matters that much, though, because while it is, like you said, that's the game that people care more about, it's really just going to be like, oh, hey, it's on Series X and PS5 now, you know?
And it's been out a lot longer, too.
Yeah, like, so. You got some visual upgrades. Yay. It's not like a lot of fanfare versus, like, the Cyberpunk 2077 thing is, like, a lot of people are looking at that. They're anticipating it or, like, wanting to, you know, pick it apart, right? And, like, see exactly what they managed to pull off.
Yeah. So
I actually think that's the one they really need to worry about. And they probably should push that back to early next year, just because if they can, like, it's going to be crowded this year. Like, where are they going to drop it in December and, like, everyone's playing Halo?
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, not everyone, but, you know, that's the game everyone's going to be talking about. I think people are just going to kind of forget about it, which they seem to already kind of have.
Yeah.
So why not wait until maybe January, where there's kind of nothing else around?
Yeah, because February is packed.
So. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's tough. And then where's the story DLC? You know, I mean, because, I already played the whole game, so I'm not going to. I would like to do another run at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm just going to do that based on the next gen upgrade. Like, if they drop some story DLC, maybe that's when I would want to do it.
Yeah. Okay, and this is going to be a little bit of a shorter post show today, but we have one more story that I want to talk about. And Carl, I knew you had some things to say about this one, but this comes from Screen Rant. So from Grant Hermans, Wonder Woman director criticizes streaming services fake-looking movies.
Oh, God.
Wonder Woman 1984 director Patty Jenkins opens up about her frustrations with the streaming boom and calling streaming movies for looking fake. Jenkins kicked off her career in strong fashion in 2003 with the Oscar and Golden Globe winning biographical crime drama Monster, before exploring the world of television with episodes of Arrested Development, Entourage, and The Killing. She would later return to the film world in 2017 for the DC Extended Universe film Wonder Woman, which would once again score her rave reviews and was a box office smash, putting her further on the map. Jenkins would return to the DC Extended Universe world with Wonder Woman 1984, which was primed to hit theaters in summer 2020 before the COVID-19 pandemic forced Warner Brothers to delay its release. The film would ultimately become the studio's first to receive a same-day theatrical and HBO Max release, which would lead to it falling short of its break-even point with only $166 million grossed worldwide and a mixed reception from critics. Though it would become the most watched straight-to-streaming title of the year, Jenkins, however, has been one of the most vocal critics of this decision, calling it heartbreaking and attributing its financial failure to this hybrid format. But her criticisms aren't stopping there. I'm going to stop it there myself. Yeah. And come on, man. I mean, what's the difference between a streamed movie and a theatrical release? You know, I don't know.
You know, I was watching Shang-Chi yesterday in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually thinking, man, the colors on my TV are better than this. I think I'd actually rather watch that at home. It's like, you know, my 4K, you know, HDR, LGCX, like, these movies look incredible. They're so vibrant. And this was very faded looking. I mean, maybe it's because I was in like one of the small theaters with the crappy projector, but you know, I'm not in like the IMAX or maybe, you know, the there's always like the theater that has the main show, right, where they always put the biggest release.
Yeah.
But man, I mean, she's, you know, I understand when like Scorsese says stuff like this, right? You know, the big names. You're like, come on, Patty. Like, you're not on that level. Like, I don't know why you're coming out there and making this bringing up this conversation, because it's very easy to look at the movies that she's done and say, like, you know, Monster is a good movie. I really enjoyed that. But like, based on a true story, like, you know, she didn't make that whole thing up, right?
Right.
She did write that one, but like, she didn't write Wonder Woman, and the first one, people liked that one, but she wrote Wonder Woman 84, and that is a terrible story. It's so poorly written. I cannot, the characters, just everything about that movie. Like, I despise that movie. I was never going to see it in theaters. It just wasn't. I didn't like Wonder Woman that much, so I didn't care. I'm not like Marvel with, well, I will see everything they put out because they have proven to me that they make quality films as a whole. You know, man. And it's, come on, like, read The Room. It's a global pandemic. Like, people, it's not like people don't want to go to the movies. It's just that there's other reasons that they aren't.
And it's just another medium to access, you know, the film. I mean,
But look at some of like the actual movies that have come out streaming. There's been some great ones. Like, you had The Irishman, that was huge for Netflix. And then one I liked, the documentary for the Motley Crue film, The Dirt. That was really good. Mm-hmm. And that was streaming only. She's just, she just doesn't like being her stuff being criticized, and that she's her film didn't do as well as she expected. It's a global pandemic, and how about make a better film?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't going to do that well, just regardless, because the pandemic. I mean, even if you put it in theaters, like, what do you want them to do? You know, like Black Widow, like, it didn't, you know, would that movie could have potentially made $1 billion on a regular release, but it didn't, it's not going to get anywhere near that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
the other movie I brought up in my comment was Soul, the Pixar movie.
Yeah, the Pixar film.
It's an incredible movie, Academy Award winning, right? Didn't it win?
Yeah,
I mean, fantastic. And by the way, looks phenomenal on my TV.
Most of the Pixar films that are on, like, you know, Disney Plus and everything, they're phenomenal films. You know, that have won, you know, the Academy Awards for, you know, animated films. And I agree. Yeah. They're amazing on TVs.
I mean, like, do they not? They have money, right? Obviously. they make more than I do. They have more money than I do. Do they not have high end TVs at home? Do they not have like surround sound systems? Like, there's so many people now who like make home theaters in their house or build up a sort of experience that is to them much better than actually going to the theaters.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, go ahead.
I was gonna say, like, I have one, and I live in an apartment. I have a nice TV, a nice couch, and I have a Polk sound bar. It's just phenomenal just to sit. I just want to upgrade the TV to get a little bit bigger.
One of my friends in San Francisco, he renovated his basement, made a home theater. Yeah, so all surround sound and everything. So. Cool stuff.
And, you know, even just, let's say circumstances are normal, no pandemic. I don't think Wonder Woman 84 is making more money than the first Wonder Woman movie.
Yeah, probably less.
Just the way I look at it, like, sequels, in order to have a really successful sequel, you have to have, the first movie has to be like really, really beloved in a lot of ways. And you have to, like, if you look at Marvel is the prime example, like, every one of their sequels does better, most cases, I think. It does better than the previous. I think Avengers 2 was the exception. But, again, that was, you know, marginal difference.
Yeah.
And that's because the first movie was, they weren't controversial, right? Like, it wasn't like, I think Wonder Woman, not that it was controversial so much as, like, it was liked. I don't think it was, like, loved by everyone, but it was a well-liked movie, but... I don't think that movie was going to get everyone to run into the theaters to see the sequel. I think
It's hard.
Like Guardians of the Galaxy, right? That first movie, like, came out of nowhere. No one knew what it was. Did really well. Sequel did much better. Because everyone was like,
I'm wondering, it's not a sequel, of course, but I'm wondering how, you know, because Eternals is supposed to come out next for the MCU. And I wonder how it's going to do in comparison to, you know, Shang-Chi's numbers for the box office. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, that's a tough call because Shang-Chi, I think, is doing well enough. Like I said before, I think it was going to be in that realm of like maybe Doctor Strange, like the first Doctor Strange movie.
Yeah.
Which is good money, you know, not like huge, but again, like these are, they're technically, they're all huge, right? Every Marvel movie has been, even Ant-Man, which was the first Ant-Man, was like over 500 million. Like,
yeah.
That's still a really big release.
Yeah.
Eternals, I think maybe has less buzz than, Shang-Chi. So
yeah. Well, because there's probably a lot of people going into that film, kind of like, as you were mentioning, Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, not many people really knew much about it. So maybe, you know, except for hardcore Marvel fans, obviously, but I mean, you know, people that are just going in and it's like, who are the Eternals, you know? So we'll have to see how well it does. All right. Okay. So that's going to do it for our post show today. So like I said, at the beginning, it goes up in early access for the first day on Patreon at patreon.com/thearena_podcast. And then it goes to our YouTube channels on the Expat 2020 Gaming and the Arena Citadel channels. And then on Wednesdays, it will go up to the free podcast services. Okay. But you can also listen to, after the first day, you can listen to the regular episode of The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news podcast, which we just recorded a little bit earlier. It'll go to free podcast services after the first day of early access. So we hope you catch us in the next one. So thank you so much again, Burley and Carl. And I hope everybody enjoys this episode of the post show. So take care, and we hope to catch you in the next one. Peace out.